In this part, we're going to talk about seven tenets of purpose, seven fundamental principles, if you will, about finding purpose. We're going to use a lot of scripture, certainly not all of the scripture that applies to each part. There are many, many different verses here. We're just going to go over some of them. If we used every verse, this part would probably take hours to get through, so I don't want to do all of it, but we want to use some very important verses to highlight each principle, each tenet, each pillar, if you will, of finding purpose. The first principle, the first foundation, is that the Lord owns everything, all things. Everything comes from Him. We own nothing. We are just here as stewards of His property. You read in Genesis, it clearly says God created the heavens and the earth. All things are from Him. Revelations 4:11, worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 13, David's prayer. Now let's read it here. Some people like different translations. Some like the poetic layout of the King James. Others like things a little more modern English. Let's go ahead and use the NIV on this one, just to give you a little more modern English. This is David's prayer to the Lord. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. He truly owns everything. Number two, the Lord gives all gifts. Not only does He own everything, but He is the one who passes out what He wants to give. Nothing comes from us. You see athletes sometimes beat their chests and scream and yell and try to get the praise of men, get everybody to look at them. Give glory to God. They have nothing. They don't have a cell in their body that doesn't come from Him. Everything is from Him. All gifts. 1 Chronicles 29:14, David said, everything comes from God, and we are only able to give back what He has given us. 2 Chronicles 1:1 talks about God making Solomon exceedingly great. Verse 12, the Bible says the Lord gave Solomon great wisdom, wealth, and honor. John 3:27, a man receives only what is given to him from heaven. Back in Exodus 4:24, Moses was called by God to go to Pharaoh and speak, and he really didn't want to do that. He was afraid. He said, Lord, I'm slow of tongue. Some people say maybe he stuttered, or maybe he was just a deep thinker who was slow to reply. We don't know. But the Lord replied, who gives man his tongue? In other words, who gives man his ability to speak? And the Lord doesn't only give physical gifts. God also gives us strategies to avoid evil. In 1 Samuel 16:1 through 3, the Lord tells Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king, because God had rejected Saul. But Samuel, the prophet, was afraid because if Saul heard about this, he might try to kill Samuel. So the Lord told Samuel, take a heifer with him, and if questions say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord, then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and there anoint the one the Lord has chosen. Of course, we know that was David, son of Jesse. See, in this way, Saul wouldn't suspect anything until it was too late. The Lord also gives us strategies to confront evil. Joshua 8:2. The Lord tells Joshua to set an ambush behind the city of Ai. Now, this is funny. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. Every time you try to pronounce some of these Bible names, go onto the internet, you'll go to three different Christian websites, and all three sites will tell you a different pronunciation. I heard it pronounced Ai, I-E, Ai, whatever. We're just going to call it Ai. It's spelled Ai. So anyways, Joshua was told to set an ambush behind this city. The king of the city would come out to face him. Then Joshua was told, pretend to flee, and the king would pursue him and leave the city wide open. Then the men who were set up in ambush behind the city would come out and take the city. Number three, the Lord works on people's spirits to accomplish His will. 1 Samuel 10:6. This was at the beginning of Saul's reign, before he did evil in God's eyes, and the Lord rejected him. Samuel tells Saul that in a little while the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, Saul, and he would be changed into a different person, a different man. See, at the time, Saul was very timid, and we learn in verse 22 that when it was time for Samuel to show the people God's choice and bring Saul out, knowing he was to be chosen, he hid himself. Now, the King James says, among the stuff. We don't know what the stuff is, but Saul hid himself. See, this was before the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. Now, soon after that, the prophecy of Samuel was fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, and Saul became a brave and strong leader. Of course, we know later, he sinned, but at the time, in the beginning, God was with him. Later, 1 Chronicles 28:12, the Bible says that God used his Spirit to put into David's mind the plan for his temple. Mark 13:11, Jesus told his disciples that when they were arrested, not to worry about what to say, or even plan on what to say beforehand, but to say whatever was given to them in that hour, for it would not be them speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Number four, the Lord gives success. 1 Samuel 18:12-15. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord had left Saul and was now with David. And the Bible says David behaved wisely in all that he did. Even back in verses 6 and 7, when David was returning from fighting the Philistines, the women sang their song that Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. God truly gave David victory. Success comes from the Lord, doesn't come from us. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And don't fret when something is too difficult. For as it says in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. He and He alone is the key to success. Number five, God listens and answers. All the way back in the Old Testament, Chronicles, King Asa called on God, and the Lord destroyed the Cushite king. Even before then, in Joshua 10, Joshua called out to the Lord to stop the sun while he was fighting the Amorites so the Israelites could exact vengeance on their enemy. The Bible says the sun delayed setting for about a full day. And verse 14 says, there was no day like that, before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He truly does listen to those who seek him and does amazing things. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7:11, Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do not be afraid to call on the Lord. He is listening, wants us to talk to him, wants us to ask him, wants us to seek him. Number six, God is in control. He alone commands. Go all the way back to the book of Numbers, chapter 23. That's the story of Balaam. Now, Balaam was a sorcerer who was called on by Balak, who was the king of Moab, to call down a curse on Israel as they traveled through the region, because everybody at that time was afraid of the Israelites. They were so numerous. But Balaam, now he's not an Israelite, told Balak that he could only say what God told him to say, nothing else. Even this sorcerer, who loved profit, loved money, as was said in 2 Peter 2:15, he loved the wages of wickedness. Even this guy knew that God is in command. Daniel 2:21, he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. Psalm 75:7, it is God who judges. He brings down one and exalts another. And finally, number seven, God loves you. Why? Because God is love. 1 John 4:8, he who loves not knows not God, for God is love. And of course we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The entire Bible is about God's love for us, from the creation in Genesis to the final chapter in Revelation. You know, there are times of anger, but the Bible says the Lord disciplines those he loves. Hebrews 12:6, Proverbs 3:12 says that the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just like a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. And don't ever think that we are too bad or your past too horrible for him to forgive. 2 Samuel 22:21-25 has David saying, even after he had committed adultery and murder, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. Now, the word recompense simply means
to repay.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed, repaid, me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his eyesight. So here's David, after committing adultery and murder, still saying that the Lord didn't view him that way, that he was clean in God's eyes. Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings that we see in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about him bowing down to all the starry hosts and worshiping them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, not to the Lord, though, to pagan gods. He sacrificed his sons in the fire, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, consulted mediums and spiritists. He took a carved image and put it in God's temple. The Bible says he did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. So God led the king of Assyria and took Manasseh prisoner. The Bible said he humbled himself greatly, and God actually restored him back on the throne. There's nothing you do that God can't forgive. No matter what you are or how bad you think you are, God can forgive you. And finally, know this. The Lord will always be with you no matter what's going on in your life. Illness, financial hardships, difficult relationships, whatever it might be, he has promised to always be with us. In Hebrews 13, the Lord said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And finally, the Lord himself said at the end of Matthew, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He truly will never leave us. He will not forsake us. And he will always be with us. So when you go to find your purpose, remember these seven things. Do everything for the Lord, and he will always be with you.